Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. And thanks to Judith Sears-Poisson, who did a wonderful job filling in for me when I was in Florida with Emily and with Renee. I came back with a bit of tan. I don't think I burn, so my skin, I think, is remaining relatively healthy. What about your skin? We're going to be talking about your skin's health and talking about busting some skin care myths today as we visit with Dr. Dick Niles. Dr. Niles is a dermatologist. He practices in Oconomowoc in Watertown. Great to have him back. He comes by every so often to talk with us about our skin, and certainly he's ready, willing, and able to answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And looks like we're having some problems getting him on the air. And I think it's problems at our end, perhaps, and not his end. So he may be trying to reach us by phone. But there are some things that I really wanted to ask him about today. Should you wear sunscreen every day? Should you wash your face more often? Is that going to help cure acne? That's something that I was always told as a kid. I think even as an adult, at least a young adult, make sure you wash your face a lot every day, and that'll help with your acne. Somebody once told me that pizza can give you pimples. I'm not sure about that. Maybe it was the fat that is associated with the pizza. But that's one that Dr. Niles probably has a comment on. And I would bet that he also would have a comment about a dry skin and whether or not it causes wrinkles and moisturizers. Now, my wife wears a moisturizer, uses a moisturizer, especially in the wintertime, and it makes her skin feel better, I think. Does it do any good? Well, we can find out all those things as we visit with Dr. Dick Niles, and let's see if I can get him on now. Let's see here. All right, I believe I've got him on.
Hi,
Dr. Niles. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great to have you back with us today. I want to let our listeners know if they have a question for you, they should call at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'll get you on with your question or comment. I'm wondering, you know, we were in Florida for a week, came back with looking like I had a little sun and burn, but I didn't use any sunscreen the whole time I was there. How important is wearing sunscreen in the winter in our climate here in Wisconsin, or is it important at all?
I don't think it's important at all. After maybe October 15th and before, let's say, April 15th, the sun is too low in the sky to really be able to cause any important sun damage. Now, you might get a little bit red if you're out all day long, or if you're skiing in up in the mountains where you're closer to the sun, not really that much closer to the sun, but there's less atmosphere in between to filter out the sun's rays. But no one really needs to use sunscreen in the wintertime in Wisconsin. It's just a waste of time and energy, I think.
Okay, so that's one we can kind of do away with. What about, here's one that I heard a lot, and that has to do with washing your face. I had a little acne as a teenager, and I think mom or somebody told me to wash my face more to help with the acne. Is that true?
No, it's not. Acne is not caused by dirt. Blackheads are not things that we need to clean out. I think this is a throwback to the time when I think parents would like to sort of hold it over the kid that, you know, if only you would do this or this or not eat that or do this, your acne would be better. And the kid would obviously never do those things. So it was always the kid's fault that he had acne, and mom was always, you know, telling them the right thing to do, but they're just kids. They just don't do that stuff. But it really has very little to do with it.
And what about pizza, then? Is that the same thing? You know, I've heard somebody say pizza gives you pimples.
Right. I think that's also the same fallacy. No one's been able to demonstrate that what you eat makes acne worse. Not even chocolate has been noticed to be all that important. I think that maybe we'll find out that the Mediterranean diet, when strictly adhered to, might make acne a little bit better. But you're not going to get many teenagers to go along with that one. Well, how many adults do we get to go along with that?
Not very many.
Yeah.
What about now? My wife uses a moisturizer, especially in the winter months, and it makes her feel better.
Right. And, Larry, you don't, right?
No.
And I don't. And I feel perfectly fine, too.
Right.
So people get used to doing things, and then when they stop doing those things, then they feel uncomfortable. So if you put on moisturizer on your face where you have 1,000 oil glands per acre, in the summertime, in July 14th, when the humidity is 95%, well, gee, then you're going to have to do it in October and December and do it all the time if you're addicted to it. But maybe the right number of times to put on moisturizer on a face might be 10 or 50 or 100, but I know it's not 365, and I know it's not 365 times 2.
Let's go to Janet in Madison. She has a question or two. Janet, hi.
Hi, thanks for the call.
Sure.
My question to your guest is about a product I'm sure he's heard of. It's called the Clarisonic. It's a face washing brush that's mechanical. It pulses, and it has brushes that just sort of jiggle around. My question is whether that is worth its money. I have a brush just like that, but it's not mechanical. So I just, you know, circle the brush around on my face with my own strength. The third product compared to that I'm wondering about is I have a friend that has a mechanical one, but it's not a brush. It's just a flat pad. Kind of reminds me of like what you'd use to buff a car. But that also is mechanical and it has vibration to it.
Okay.
So,
and Janet, why do you, I mean, what's the purpose for in your mind for using one of these?
Well, I've always liked my handheld brush one just because the bristles can creep up along the hairline where sometimes makeup or sweat gets up in there. Gets in crevices and that kind of thing. The first one or the one that the brush with the mechanical pulsing, does that do anything more? I mean, it talks about that it doesn't stretch your skin beyond its limits, and I'm just wondering whether that one is worth its money or should I stick with my handheld.
And Janet, do you use moisturizers?
Wait, is this a trick from the previous question?
No, it's not. It's just a question.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just read an article about these brushes the other day, and they were talking about how they were important. And a very prominent dermatologist, a national dermatologist, and a woman, made the comment that this cleans out all the dirt. Well, we know there's no dirt there, and cleaning out the blackheads, and it makes the blackhead, the pores smaller. Well, that is a complete bunch of baloney. So I'm wondering if she has some financial interest in these things, and maybe all of the prominent dermatologists that you can list 10 of them, and they're on TV, and they promote products, and I just think that that there's no benefit in any of these things. And when a dermatologist is talking about it and they say something that's patently false, then I just don't believe it at all. So I go back to my idea that this is not a dirt condition. Acne is not a dirt condition. It's easy to get rid of the things that we need to get rid of on the surface of our face. It's easy to wash your face. I'm not sure exactly what a clean face means, especially if you're just going to put on petroleum distillates from Saudi Arabia after you wash it. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you need to exfoliate, you need to peel off all this skin, I think that just brings up the idea of introducing lots of things on your face, making you red and inflamed, and the skin cells that are going to fall off tomorrow, why take them off today? So I'm sort of a basic, simple kind of guy, like you, Larry.
Okay.
You're a guy's dermatologist.
Well, you know, I tell this to women all the time. They look at me like I'm from Mars, and then they do it, and they're fine.
Huh?
Okay, well, maybe I'll save my money then.
All right, Janet. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Dawn from Madison wonders, what is the best thing for to use for washing a face? Currently, I just use Dove soap and water and a washcloth, but I know soap can be a harsh product on skin. What would you recommend?
I think that there are very gentle products that you can use, and Dove soap and Oil of Olay soap are something a little bit different than regular soap, so they're a little bit more gentle. But even beyond that, the gentle is Cetaphil cleanser, which has some generic equivalents like at Sam's or Walmart if you want to get it there. And then CeraVe is a nice one that foams up a little bit, so at least gives you the impression that you're doing something. But I think that washing your face real gently, I'm an oily man. I wash with one of these products, and my face feels clean enough.
Mm-hmm. What is in a product like Lava that it almost feels like it has sand in it?
Well, I think there is some probably ground-up silicone or something that's really, or silicon, that or silica, I should
silica.
Say.
Silica.
Yeah, that is abrasive, and that's there used to be lots of abrasive cleansers that were brought out. And, you know, if you look at these abrasive things or the brushes or any of that mechanical stuff, I think you'll find a few people that do better and maybe a few people that do worse. But most people, it doesn't make much difference.
Andrew in Appleton, we turn to you next. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to circle back to the discussion earlier with regards to sunscreen usage in Wisconsin during winter. And just to clarify, I guess, I mean, I was left with the impression after that discussion that, you know, we basically don't have to put on sunscreen in the wintertime between roughly middle of October and late spring. But I know from experience, having spent a lot of time, you know, outdoors during the winter time when there's typically snow, that it's very easy to get burned out there. You don't have to be up in the mountains. I mean, pretty much anywhere in Wisconsin, and folks are outside quite a bit. So I just kind of wanted to clarify, you know, because I was left with the impression there that I could go out, you know, spend a lot of time outside, even though I'm kind of getting burned, but not worry about it because it's wintertime in Wisconsin.
Well, I'll stick with what I said, because you can get immediate redness of the face after you're outside and there is some sun. So you might get red for a little while after you're outside, which may be from a little bit of sun exposure from the wind blowing the hot air off your face and drying it out a little bit. But when others do studies about how much sun is out there, it is so tiny compared with how much sun is out in the summertime that it probably doesn't do any good. I'm not sure that if you wore the sunscreen that you wouldn't also get the redness that night or the next day, but it doesn't generally cause damage. You may peel because you're too dry because the wind blows the warm, humid air away from your face. But I'll stick with what I said.
Okay. There you go, Andrew. Thank you for calling. And what about you? You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Talking with Dr. Dick Niles today, dermatologist who practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your skin's health today and busting some skincare myths with our guest, Dr. Dick Niles, dermatologist. He practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown. Larry Mueller here. So happy to have you listening in today here on the Ideas Network. And Sandra in Appleton, I think up next with a question. So let's go to her. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I'm calling, doctor, regarding a problem that I have. I went to a doctor that works with fillers. Not a dermatologist, but a general practitioner, and they were to use Juvederm in the folds around my mouth, but changed that before I had an opportunity to read the side effects of Radiesse. Radiesse? Is that how you pronounce it?
Radiesse, yep.
Yes, And now I'm having little bumps all over my, it was in the folds by my mouth, and it's there, and it's kind of migrating up into my cheeks. I'm getting little bumps all over, and they're firm, and I'm wondering if that isn't the calcium that's in that filler that's migrating to other parts of my face. And is there anything that can be done regarding that?
Well, if the... now, the bumps are under the skin. They're not red bumps on the surface.
They seem to come, right underneath the skin, but it seems like my skin is getting inflamed around them now also.
Well, people can have reactions, rarely, against any of those fillers. It's a foreign substance being injected. And sometimes those can be injected a little bit with cortisone to help calm them down. Sometimes they are very much on the surface, and one can nick it with a needle and press out the contents.
And that's what I have done. I have done that, but it seems to, I seem to get more and more, and it seems to be, a real problem. Are there any, would a laser do something to dissolve the calcium, or would that help?
I think you need to have a diagnosis of what's going on first, and it may be that you actually have had some, with the filler injection, maybe you're also doing other things to your face, like using moisturizers and clogging up pores and making little milia, which are hard little white peas on the surface of the skin. And one can just prick those open and shuck those out. But I think that you should at least talk with the physician that injected that and say, is this part of what's going on here and what can we do about it? Or seeing a dermatologist who can figure out what the problem is and try and remedy it.
Makes good sense.
I am a nurse practitioner, so I know it's not milia. I know it's not acne. And when I squeeze it, it's like a milky, whitey substance that comes out of these little lesions. So
it may have been injected high in the skin, but I can't imagine that would migrate that fast from the way it sounds. So I think you need to talk
back
to somebody about it.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. On our Facebook page, John says, my 15-year-old son drinks a teaspoon of cream of tartar in a cup of water to help with his acne. Doesn't taste the best, but it seems to help. Any science behind this?
Probably not. We can also rub a wart with a potato and bury it in the backyard and go out, and 2 weeks later and dig it up and the wart's gone. So things happen once in a while, and I think that if you would... all these folk remedies have some basis because you start using them and then things maybe get better. Now, perhaps you started using it when your acne was really, really bad, and now it's improved just because it seems to ebb and flow. Not sure that cream of tartar is all that good for you anyhow, but I would say that's sort of malarkey.
And a note from on Facebook from the Brass Rooster, men's hats and accessories shop in Milwaukee. The owner says he knows that some doctors recommend hat wearing, especially in summertime. Could you break down the benefits for me so that I can better serve my customers?
Okay, so we're having a little sales promo here, huh? I think that there are things that you can do to help with sunburn, sun damage, skin cancer formation, and those are three things. One is the time of day that you're outside. So if you're out in the summertime at noon, then you're likely to get burned. But if you're out at 7 a.m. for a half an hour walking the dog, you're not going to get burned. The second thing is clothing, and that's where hats come in. So if you're out in the middle of the day and wearing a hat, and especially if you're bald, that's a great idea if you want to wear some long sleeves in the middle of the day so you have less sun. If you're down on a winter vacation and the first few days you cover up so that you're just getting a little bit of sun through those clothes, that's great. And then last is the sunscreen, putting that on so you don't get burned. I think those are the three things. So hats and clothing make some difference.
Teresa in Madison, we turn to you next. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi, how can we help you?
Well, I just have a question. You're in my pregnancy right now. My my skin is just getting drier than it usually does in the wintertime, and I've been trying baby oil and different lotions on top of that and vitamin E oil, but sometimes I just have this breakout dryness, and I just don't know what to do to quell it.
Mm. On your face or your body?
Body.
On the body, okay.
Well, the things that are important about wintertime dry skin, one thing that can be very important is soft water.
Mm-hmm.
Second is a mild soap like Dove or Oil of Olay.
Mm-hmm.
Third would be not scrubbing your skin.
Yeah.
So a bar of soap would be better than a liquid. Fourth would be having humidification or a vaporizer in your bedroom or house.
Yep, we got that too.
And then the baby oil on wet skin, standing there dripping wet after you take a shower, wipe the water off, take a couple of drops of baby oil and rub it into that wet skin.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't get you there, then there are other lotions like Amlactin, which I think is over-the-counter, which is a dry skin lotion that can be helpful. But be a little careful with lotions. They have 12 ingredients, and sometimes on dry, raw skin, you can get a you can get a reaction to ingredient number 7.
Okay, how do you spell Amlactin? Is it just like A-M?
A-M, capital L.
A-C-T-O-N. Okay. Yeah, because we got the humidifier. We've been trying all these different stuff, and I don't typically actually even use lotion in the wintertime. This is the first time I've had to use it every single day.
But so the pregnancy may have had, would that have something to do with it, Dr. Niles?
Usually when you're pregnant, it's not, you're really hot and sweaty and moist and more oil. So that's a little bit unusual. Now, maybe you're bathing more often because you're hot and sweaty all the time. Maybe that's a potential problem. I'm not sure.
No, okay. Well, I'll definitely give the Amlactin a try because I'm always out going to go out shopping today to find some more.
Okay, right. Good luck.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. We have some emails I wanted to get to, too. Tina in Oshkosh says, I have visible pores on my face. Skin is not particularly oily. It gets worse as I get older. Those pores get bigger. Can I do something to stop or slow this down, or am I genetically doomed?
Well, everybody has big pores. So if you get within 6 inches of somebody else's nose, you can see that they have big pores too. So that's a normal adult characteristic. I might get rid of the light on your makeup mirror or sit further away.
My Kay in Milwaukee says, my husband has seriously cracked and dry heels, and my wife has this problem too. What causes this, and what remedies would you recommend?
That is a very common problem. More with women than men, and actually in the summertime. And I don't really know why that seems to happen so much, especially to women. But I think those ped eggs, the ones where you slowly grind down, are very helpful in keeping it good.
Mm-hmm.
And then using a thick cream, like maybe that Amlactin cream, a thick one, not mm-hmm. like a lotion, but a thicker one in a tube, might be helpful because the active ingredient in that alpha hydroxy acid holds water in the skin, but it also decreases the glue between the cells so that the thickness doesn't develop. So it'll take a long time to get that going, and you may have to really shave off those heels, and sometimes I've even done that with a scalpel in the office on patients to get them down far enough. But then the Amlactin and the ped egg to grind it off would be good.
And Julie wonders, how on earth can I get rid of blackheads?
Well, if you're calling every pore that you have a blackhead, then that's not happening. If you have blackheads which are bigger than the normal pore and raised up and a hard little plug in it, then there are creams that can be helpful, like prescription Retin-A, and it's similar things to Retin-A, can be very helpful for blackheads over the long run. It might even be that some of the exfoliating peelers, maybe you put something on and then strip it off, maybe one of those mm-hmm. strippers that they used to have for noses that was advertised, I think. But in the long run, you would probably want to use Retin-A.
John in Milwaukee wonders, does generic sunscreen block creation of vitamin D in the body? And if it does, are there specific sunscreens that do not or that do allow the creation of vitamin D from the sun?
No, when you're blocking the sun, you're blocking the sun. And you can't. You're just blocking, let's say, half the rays that get in there. So you're going to make half the vitamin D, or you're going to block out 90% of the rays. So you're only going to get 10% of the vitamin D. So you can't have it both ways.
And what is the best over-the-counter antifungal cream for ringworm? Dennis in West Allis wants to know.
Well, ringworm is vastly overdiagnosed.
Oh.
I have something that's circular on my skin. It must be ringworm. Well, wait a minute. Nothing in biology is squares and triangles. It's all circles anyhow. So that really doesn't get us any place. I think the ones that are over-the-counter are limited. Clotrimazole is in most of the things. And there is also now some terbinafine that's over-the-counter and others. Probably the terbinafine in the Lamisil is maybe a little bit better than the others, but sometimes you need something that's more powerful, like a pill or a prescription cream.
June in Manitowoc, you are next. Hi, June. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have been treated with a wart that I have on the tip of one of my fingers and also a little bit under the fingernail that I've been struggling with for about 6 months. They started using... The initial treatment was laser. Then they did. I'd had about 6 chiral treatments, and
liquid chiral, nitrogen.
Yes, and now I finally went to the store and got some salicylic acid wart remover pads to try to get these little devils down. Because is there anything you can suggest that?
They're driving you crazy.
driving me crazy.
Okay. Besides that, their warts are contagious, and they can spread around, and they spread around on you. They live in the outer layers of dead skin, sort of in the bark of the tree, sort of outside of you. So this infection, you're allowing this infection because it's sort of outside of you. If you have infected tonsils, your body goes nuts with fever and pus and pain and all kinds of stuff. But here, your body doesn't care. So there are two ways of getting rid of warts. One is to physically get rid of the wart, and that's what they tried with the cryosurgery and with a laser. And then there's another way that's immunologically to get rid of the warts. And we can inject the warts with certain things like a yeast extract. Everybody would react against it, sort of like putting some poison ivy on it, and everybody would react against that.
That was done. That was also done.
So that needs to be done a couple of times. And then the standard way that I would do for every wart from the outset, and I wouldn't physically try and destroy a wart that's underneath the nail because it generally doesn't work, is I would use a blistering substance that's sort of like putting poison ivy on it, and then using drops at home that are acid-y kind of drops, but also probably having you take Tagamet, which is a stomach ulcer drug, but it seems to jack up your immune system slightly.
Oh. Okay.
Worth a try.
I will try that. Good.
All right. Thanks, June. Thanks a lot for calling. John in Richland Center. Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Yeah. Dark spots on the back of your hands. What causes them, and can you do anything to make them lighter?
Those are so-called liver spots, but they have nothing to do with your liver. They are so-called age spots, but they have nothing to do with age. They have only to do with sun. So those are freckles from the sun. And actually, after a while, they can start to get a little thicker. So once they've been there for years, you might actually find that they peel off slightly. They're cosmetic. They, you know, make you look older because only geezers have dark spots on the back of their hands. But they can be taken care of with Retin-A, which won't do that much good. Or they can be taken care of with bleaching creams, which also won't do that much good because they're so individual and so dark. And what I do in the off season when we're not going to be out in the sun, I lightly freeze those on my hands, so I'm not a geezer anymore, on my hands and on patients' hands lightly, and they just blister up and peel off and go away. And then normal skin ensues. You can also have laser treatments, and that works great too.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Dot in Manitowoc, hello to you.
Hi. I'm wondering, what is the reaction to the skin from about 3 hours a week of swimming indoors, of course, with the chemicals that are in the pool?
It could dry your skin out a little bit. And it's a problem in the wintertime. People are in the pool to get a lot of exercise, and you must be swimming like 5 miles if you're in the pool for 3 hours.
Well, no, it just takes me a while to swim a mile, but it would be 3 hours a week. That'd be, I swim
3 hours a week.
Three times a week, 1 hour.
Okay, so you're going to dry your skin out a little bit. So what I would do is after you're done in the pool, I would go into the shower, rinse off, probably not use any soap, but just rinse off, and then put on, have some baby oil with you, and then wipe the water off with your hands, take a couple drops of baby oil in your palm, rub that on your skin, and that probably would get you back to normal.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Ann in McHenry, Illinois, on to you. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Actually, I had a question about age spots, but it sounds like you already addressed that. I was just wondering, so over-the-counter creams will do absolutely nothing, it sounds like, then?
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Lucy in Milwaukee, on to you. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
I
have two questions. One is, I have a 2-year-old baby boy, and he's been suffering with dry skin from the first month he was born. And we've tried medicated ointments, prescription ointments, I should say, heavy creams, baby products for dry skin, and nothing seems to work really well, not on his face, but on his body.
Okay. People with atopic dermatitis, which is sort of touchy skin, and with dry skin, are lacking some ingredients in the skin that make it a better barrier. So as the skin matures, it goes from sort of a cuboidal or like a block-shaped cell, and on the surface it gets flattened out and dies. And so on the surface we have skin cells that are like flat bricks, and then in between there's some mortar. But in people that have a lot of dry skin and eczema, they tend not to have very good bricks and very good mortar, and water evaporates through that pretty easily. And then when the water evaporates through that pretty easily, then the skin cracks and the outside world gets in. So sometimes using complicated creams, any cream is complicated, any cream has 12 ingredients, that might create a problem, but mineral oil or baby oil, which is just perfume and mineral oil, baby oil, regular Vaseline petroleum jelly, or a mild cortisone in an ointment form can calm some of these areas down. There are also other barrier repair treatments that are prescriptions that can do a good job at putting back in some of the chemicals that make the mortar and the bricks a little bit better.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. And my second question is, as I've been getting older, I've been getting more skin tags, I think is what they are, different sizes along my eye and cheekbone area, and I know a lot of people get these. I wonder, is that a natural part of the aging process? Or
no, it has nothing to do with aging. It just has to do with genes and sometimes obesity. So if you have some of them, then you probably have just a family history of those. All that we can do is maybe inject a little Novocaine and snip them off.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Great. There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Lucy.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate your call. And we've got Gloria in Green Bay. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. How are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, now that I've listened to this, I've got a couple questions. One is the age spots. Now, I've been using, like, cocoa butter, and mine seem to be going away. Would that make sense to you?
Well, they all fade a little bit in the wintertime, just because you're not in the sun.
Yeah.
And they get bigger and stronger in the summertime again. So if you think they're getting better now, it's just because it's not summer.
Oh, okay. And the other thing is, one doctor told me I have warts on my fingers, and he says, put a piece of duct tape around it. Now, does that make sense to you?
Well, the original duct tape thing was some geezer out in the North Woods put a piece of duct tape on his wart and left that same piece of duct tape there for 2 months.
Oh, my. Okay.
Hey, now imagine what's going on underneath that piece of duct tape.
Okay.
Okay, so when we've tried to do the study with a rational, modern way of doing it, of taking it off and putting it back on, it doesn't work.
Okay. And the other thing now, when I was just listening, this little calcium deposits under the eye. I get mine mostly when I'm sweating in that. And has that got something to do with it? Your sweat, your own body?
No. And they're not calcium. It's a little hard, little cysts from clogging up of pores. And since you should be sweating every day, then that's not going to be the answer.
No. Oh, there you go. Thanks, Gloria, for calling. Appreciate it. On our Facebook page, Danielle wonders, are self-tanning lotions in any way harmful?
I think they're not harmful unless you get the idea that you can go out in the sun and get more sun because you're already a little bit tanned. But for a lot of people, they work very well, and they're not orange anymore. Some of them are subtle. They work very subtly, so you have to put it on days in a row. But the nice thing about putting it on for days in a row is that you don't end up with a big fingerprint on your finger, big handprint on your back, or some streaks, because you're putting it on randomly this way or that way, and it gradually gets you a little bit darker, so you maybe feel better about how you look, and they're not as stinky as they used to be either.
And Elaine in Mondovi, hello.
Because otherwise I've got a pole lamp here.
Elaine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You have a quick question?
Yes, I do. Over Christmas vacation, my 8-year-old granddaughter started scratching her skin, her legs, her arms, and it kept getting worse. And my daughter-in-law took her to the doctor, and they put her on prednisone, and it really hasn't helped much.
So it's eczema?
Yes, that's what we're thinking. She had a severe outbreak of eczema. And so next, it's a dermatologist, but it's like a month before she can get in. And so we're wondering if there is any other type of treatment.
Well, I would use some baby oil on the wet skin. She could take some over-the-counter antihistamines. That would be very helpful to helping cut down on the itching. Vaseline and water might be helpful. And then an over-the-counter hydrocortisone in an ointment form, a Vaseline form, might be helpful.
Not the cream form, but the Vaseline.
Right, it's too complicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, some good suggestions there. And Dr. Niles, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Anytime, Larry. It was a lot of fun, and it went pretty fast.
Yeah, Dr. Dick Niles is a dermatologist, and he practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown. His name is pronounced Niles, but it's spelled N-E-I-L-S. See, now my name is spelled M-E-I, and I would pronounce it Niels, or because our name is pronounced Mealer. But in this case, Dr. Niles is spelled N-E-I-L-S, pronounced Niles. So there you go. Appreciate having him with us, and he will be back, and we'll have him on again. Somebody else we've had on several times is Jim LaLuzerne, and so we're going to go from talking about your skin to talking about your eyes with Jim. He's retired from a 45-year career, of which he was the CEO of 5 different optic-related companies. And he's up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.